This is NHL Radio.
Hey, just great, Rob. How about you?
Not bad. What are you going to do with your summer? Like, maybe, you know, out of the next 6-8 weeks, you going to go anywhere cool?
No, not really. It's going to be college visits with my oldest, who will be a senior at Tampa Catholic High School in Florida this fall. So we're doing the college visits this summer.
Good for you.
Congratulations.
Speaking of Florida, I want to talk about the Panthers and the GM situation. And I mean, not the ideal situation right now there. They got to get this thing taken care of, don't they?
Well, I think you saw this through the draft and really even yesterday as well, that, you know, going into the draft, when you have somebody who's a Hall of Famer, as Bill Torrey is, and who's been there and done that, he relies on quality people. And Scott Luce, who used to be one of our scouts in Tampa when I was with the Lightning and is now the chief amateur scout in with the Panthers, he's the guy really who's going to run the draft for them. And I think you saw that. Scott working with Randy Sexton, the assistant GM, and Bill signing off and everything. And I think the same thing yesterday. I thought they did some really good work there yesterday. To re-sign David Booth, that's a priority. Obviously, they like Dvorak. They got him re-signed, so good for them on that. And then when they lose Anderson, to be able to bring in Clemenson, I think they did a heck of a job. They, as far as I'm concerned, they certainly cured the loss of what I felt was their real number one goaltender last year. So, yes, it would be better to have a manager there, but I honestly don't think they lost a beat in the past couple of weeks here.
But I bring that up again because the ownership situation is a little odd, because we hear about a sale going through, and maybe EJ can jump in on this too. I mean, what's the status there? Because that's going to impact who the GM is, because maybe one group wants one guy and another group wants a completely different guy.
Yeah, and again, and I don't have this as any kind of definitive information, but I heard yesterday that, in fact, that Mr. Cohen has found another investor or is working with another investor, and that perhaps the group that was looking to buy the team, that they're not necessarily going to purchase it at this time. So my sense of it is that it's going to stay with Alan Cohen, and he may bring on another investor. EJ, is that what you've heard, or
no? I mean, I just think that's the situation right now. Is they've got, it's kind of a messy deal with that ownership group, and until it gets straightened out, that's kind of where they're at. You know, you know how it is, Jay. I mean, you've been through, you know, when a team gets sold and how that works. That you don't want to hire a guy, and then somebody else comes in and runs the show, and the next thing you know, they want to get rid of them. So, that's what it seems like to me. And I guess there's a list of guys that are interested. I know that, you know, Jay, you know, I hear your name in the mix there, and I think that'd be a good situation perhaps for you to go down there if it was right for everybody involved. But it seems like everybody wants to wait until that ownership thing is settled, right?
Yeah, you know, I think that is the case, and yet I have to tell you, and I go back to it, I don't mean to sound like I'm beating a broken record here or whatever, a broken drum, I guess, but I just think with Bill Torrey there, he's such a good man, and he's such a good hockey man, and, you know, the great part about Bill Torrey is that you're not going to rush him, and you're not going to move him to do what he doesn't want to do. So while it is difficult, I don't even think it's similar right now really to the situation that we had in Tampa with the sale, because of Mr. Torrey there. He is the kind of figure that transcends both organizations and both sides have confidence in. So eventually something's going to happen there, and I think it'll all be good.
One of the areas you discussed, I believe, on TSN yesterday, or one of the topics, was the term of some of these contracts. And we had the 12-year with Hossa, which is crazy. A lot of fives and some sevens in there, but react to the 12-year and then maybe work your way down from there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand it. I guess, you know, when I look at it, I understood the Islanders when they decided that locking Ricky DiPietro up for 15 years at that number, at, you know, $4.5 million a year, that made some sense from the standpoint that this is your franchise goalie, and yes, you're going to take a gamble if he gets hurt, which, you know, unfortunately for Ricky and the Islanders, that has been the case here the past couple of seasons. I kind of understood that. And even when they decided to do it in Washington and give the big contract to their franchise player, to Ovechkin, I kind of understood that too, because I think that guy sells tickets. I mean, I think that player will be with that organization in some capacity in a front office capacity or an ambassador capacity, whatever the case may be, when his playing career is done. But I don't know. It's just very, very difficult for me to understand, because once you do it, you really, I mean, you've wedded yourself to this player for that period of time. There are cap implications. There are real dollar implications. And now, you know, if you always believe that everything's going to be rosy and the cap is always going to go up, then maybe you can justify it. But right now, I mean, we only saw this cap in the coming season, 09-10, is flat. Yes, it goes up $100,000. Let's be honest. It's flat, and the only reason that it's even staying flat is because, you know, there's a mechanism built in to be able to keep it flat for this 1 year. But in this economy and the kind of economic conditions that we're facing and that teams are facing, if that cap starts to go down, now it becomes even more difficult. You know, I said this the other day as it relates to Tampa Bay. Somebody asked me, they said, you were the guy who said you'd never trade LeCavalier. Well, you know, what about now? And I said, well, you know, that was then. Now he's owed $10 million a year this coming season. And I've read reports out of the Tampa media that payroll is going to be $42, $45 million. I mean, now you have to look at it and say, there's one player that we're paying $10 million to against the $45 million payroll. How do we assemble the rest of the team? And so that's the, you know, again, it's that box that you put yourself in by doing these long-term deals. And it's going to be interesting to see when these chickens come home to roost here in the next couple of years.
What do you think, Jay, about the Danny Heatley situation? That was, I mean, you were doing the whole TSN coverage yesterday. It was a bone of contention yesterday that will continue to play out. You've been a manager. You've been in some dicey situations with players. Where do you think this is going from here? Do you have any idea?
Well, you know what? It's going to come down to how Eugene Melnyk, as the owner of the Ottawa Senators, decides he wants to handle this. If he is willing to play hardball, if he is willing to say, you know what, the $4 million doesn't mean as much to me as the principal does, then Danny Heatley's in a world of trouble. You know, I think that, and that's a risk that camp is taking. We were kind of talking about this actually off air yesterday, and Bob McKenzie made the point that he said, really, it's a lot like the situation used to be with Bob Gudenow in charge of the Players Association. That mentality, really, and it's always been the Players Association mentality, that the owners at some point will cave. If we remain strong, if we stay firm, at some point, and if we're willing to sit out, you know, if we're willing to miss a year, if we're willing to be, you know, hard and tough at the process, eventually the owners will cave. And I think that's what the Heatley camp and agent J.P. Barry, in this case, that's what they're expecting. That at some point in time, you know, Mr. Melnyk is going to say, look, yes, I know we cut the $4 million check last night or today, but he doesn't want to be here. We don't want him here. He's poisoned the well with our fans. Let's just do the best we can and get him out of here. I certainly, as Danny Heatley's representative or as Danny Heatley, I wouldn't want to have to make that bet, EJ. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't want to have to believe that Mr. Melnyk is going to cave at some point.
Bruce Garriock, Ottawa Sun, a quote from his article today. It says, Brian Murray says, it's different now. And, of course, this is after they spent the $4 million. He said, it's different now, said Murray. I don't know whether we will continue or not. And this is in reference to talking to the Oilers again. During the day, I will talk to Steve Tambellini. Very definitely, it's not the same deal it was yesterday. So there you go.
Yeah.
This is just
you know, and it's funny, too, because I guess one of the big bones of contention is that the sense in the Heatley camp is that, in fact, there were other options out there. That some for some reason that, you know, Brian Murray seized on this deal with Edmonton as his only option or the one he liked the most and therefore didn't present other options to Danny Heatley. You know, I found it interesting because I had heard that one of the groups that was being encouraged to sweeten the pot was the New York Rangers. And you know, I really, and I mean this is a player who wants out of Ottawa because he actually was asked to be accountable by a rookie head coach, by a head coach who stuck his neck out and is trying to do the right things for the team and trying to have team success. And yet, that camp decides that maybe they'd like to go to New York and play for John Tortorella. Hey, let me assure you, John Tortorella already won that battle once with Vincent LeCavalier. So, I mean, I don't understand why the feeling is that there are all these options, and, you know, Brian Murray took 20 other offers and just put them in his desk drawer and only presented Edmonton. It's nonsensical to me.
Jay, great stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy summer. Enjoy the college hunt. And we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Have a great summer, guys. It's been a pleasure this year.
Thanks, Jay. Thank you very much.
For more podcasts, check out NHL.com. This is NHL Radio.